appreciate your prayers. Look at some scriptures. One talk about Gideon. Our Lord's help. Remember Gideon? Kind of a unique place in the scriptures. His era was during the time of the judges. He got into one of those places where Israel hadn't been behaving very well. The Lord sent captivity. Midianites came and conquered the land. Story is found in the 6th chapter of the book of Judges and other places too. I'd like to read how Gideon's adventure starts. I think I read quite a bit of this. 6 and 11 beginning. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all these miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. The Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. Gideon went in, made ready a kid, unleavened cakes, of an ephah of flour, the flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. The angel of the Lord never ate a bite of it, did he? The angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. When Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. So that's quite a story, isn't it? That's how it all began. Now you remember how it ended. Gideon with his little army of 300 men went up against the Midianites, who were numbered, the scripture said, were like grasshoppers in their sight, and they're like the sand of the sea. Those old-timers liked using that phrase, didn't they? That meant there's a whole bunch of them. But the Lord made them all run away in the night, killing each other while they went. Then the land was delivered, just as the Lord said it'd be. But before this, Gideon's life came to its successful conclusion, and many a hill to climb, many a deep experience. And it began at this point. So let's look at it again. Came an angel. And it was at a time when the Midianites held the folks in captivity. We Americans don't know much about that, do we? We're pretty free. We fuss about our government a little bit sometimes. It's nothing like what these Israelites were living under. I had a little experience with that, visiting with some of those folks that Leon's just been to see in Germany, because they were in the Iron Curtain countries when it was still divided. And they had told us about, I think one brother described to us how he would walk 20 kilometers, which is what, 12, 13 miles, something like that. In the wintertime, 20 below zero or so, and 2 or 3 feet of snow on the ground. They weren't living in a place like Miami Beach. He had a large family, and there was a military establishment there that had horses, and he'd walk over to try to glean some corn from whatever he could find around the stable, be there all day long in the cold, try to get enough to take home and give his family a little bit of something to eat for dinner that night. And that's where they lived for years. Cows in the house, and if they had a cow, or if they had a cow, things like that, we'd think they were in pretty savage condition, so we wouldn't appreciate it. But it was surely like that in the land of the Midianites. In the land of Israel when the Midianites were ruling it. And like you would expect, man is in that kind of condition, got a little family, try to slip out when he can, somewhere up in the hills, grow him a little patch of wheat if he could, try to hide it from the keen eyes of their conquerors, enough so that he could have a little extra to get through the dark months. And he was up there with his, wherever he was hiding out, by himself, got the wheat out and trying to thrash it by the wine press, because he was afraid of the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. You read the story of Gideon, and it's hard to pick out anything about him that made him special. He was just a farmer. That's all he was. But you know, God's always had a man. When the time comes that he needs one, he's got a way of finding a man. Well, I've thought about Joseph a lot. God spent a lot of time qualifying Joseph. It must have been a blow to those folks when Joseph died. And then God passed by that casket. You know, he'd given instructions that his bones were to be taken away from Egypt. Passed by it, and they think, well, that's the strongest man there was among us. And this is how he ended. But I like this little phrase. Where there are graves, there are cradles. And where one life ends, another begins. There's no one of us that the Lord absolutely has to have to preserve His church. He will keep His church no matter who lives or who dies. It's not the work of a man. It's the work of Almighty God. So when He needed a man, He found one. And so far as I can tell, He's just your ordinary garden variety kind of man. But the Lord came down, sent an angel, and paid him a visit. I'd like for you to notice the way that the expression of the angel and the Lord are interchanged in this passage. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said, "The Lord is with thee." And in the 14th verse, he says, "And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt have save Israel from the hand of the Midianites." He's talking to the angel, but all of a sudden it changes from saying the angel, and it says, "The Lord said it unto you." I am of the viewpoint that angels are just the form that the Lord chooses to use to show His presence. That they are actually a part of God Himself in their demonstration, and as such are incapable of turning against God any more than you could turn against yourself, etc. At any rate, and not only here, but you'll find throughout the scriptures, those are used interchangeably. The Lord speaks of the angels doing things, and then He speaks of Himself doing things. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him, our King James says, and delivereth them. That's what David said. But they left out a word there. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him, and He delivereth them. And it means the Lord delivers them. But it means the angel delivered them. How do you separate God into categories? You can't do it. It all runs together. There's a Father and a Son and a Holy Ghost, and each have their individual place, and yet they're all one in a way that's beyond human capability. And His angels are a demonstration of what He is. His angels are capable of doing good to humankind, and they're also capable of bringing judgment against humankind. And I'm afraid of them. And I love them. I had a brother say one time, he was praying, "Lord, I'd love to see an angel." And the Lord told him, "You go back in the Bible and see when the angels appeared. And then see if you still want to see one." It's when there was trouble. It's when things were bad. That's when the angels came. And so you want to see one, you can, but you're praying for trouble when you pray for it. nor a time when special deliverance was needed. Well, this was trouble. Midianites being mean to everybody. And this angel appeared to Gideon. He had to think it was something special, but the first thing in his mind was, if the Lord be with us, why are we in all this trouble? Where are those miracles that we saw before us? We're groaning under the oppression of these people. We raise 20 bushels of wheat and they take 18 of them. And we grow 4 cows and they take 3 of them. And we're all under that. And we're not allowed to even own so much as a sword or a spear. Where is the God that was the deliverer of all our forefathers? But folks, may I say to you that that is the cry of a sin-stricken world about us today. And like everybody has heard a rumor that there is real salvation, that people get real deliverance, I think false religion has made that look bad. So many people have professed it who didn't really have it. And it's kind of blurred the picture of the dream. And then folks sometimes have confused ideas about how it really works. You saw the story of this man Gideon, and it would seem, I think it's fair to say, that he picked up a lot of information from his people. They told him about Moses, and they told him about the other, maybe Samuel, and the other things that had happened in their history, and so forth. But he didn't really have the power of it in his life. They're like, I know I'm one of these people. I know there are supposed to be all these things true. But where is it? We're having so much trouble here. When does it become real to us? Do we need something more? That was the first thing in his mind, wasn't it? Angel appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And that was the farthest thing from his mind. I'm of a tribe that's not noted for being valorous. And my dad was a poor man. And I got older brothers than me, and they're all better than I am, and none of them are very good, and I'm the least of the litter, so to speak. I'm not much at all. Why would you come and call me a man of valor? And I suppose that was exactly how he felt. But there again, if we face ourselves, that's true about every one of us, in dealing with the real issues of life, meaning sin, meaning temptation, meaning the weakness of the flesh, we don't have very much capability to withstand that, and we need a power that's greater than our own to be able to deal with it. So, the angel of the Lord looked at him differently than he looked at himself. The angel of the Lord looks at you and me differently than we look at ourselves. He is able to make something of whatever we bring to him. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? There is a key to Gideon. Have not I sent thee? As I say, if you read the whole story of Gideon, he doesn't really seem to have been a deeply religious man. He was a man who liked to have a sign. Here's one of the first times he wanted a sign. If this really be of God, I don't know, you angels, you have a way of getting away from us. This may all be a hallucination. You stay here. How long did it take to go butcher a little sheep and roast it and make some cakes and bring them back? Couldn't do it in 20 minutes. He's hiding somewhere in the mountains, and he had to go back where his flock was. And this took a little while. And it told the angel that this be true. You sit still. Wait here for me. Now come back, and then I'll know whether or not it's the truth. Remember, this is the same man that had the fleece. And he put the fleece out and said, if this is what you want me to do, let there be dew all over the ground and none on the fleece. And he came out and looked at that, and that's the way it was. Well, he said, that's not good enough. Let's do it the other way around. Tomorrow, let's put all the dew on the fleece and none on the ground. But that's not really a man of deep faith who's acting this way. But the Lord took him. And every time he did that, the Lord honored what his request was. So it was in this case. You say, I'm to be a mighty man of valor, and I'm the least in my father's house. The Lord said, surely I will be with thee. Well, I dare say in Gideon's life, there were times when he needed to remember those words. When he got ready to go against the Midianites, they're bad outnumbered, 10, 20 to 1, something like that. And they don't have any real weapons, but got the whole country stirred up. It all started on this day because the Lord told him, you go tonight. and tear down Baal's altar, and that's when the war is going to start. So he was to do that, and get his little army there, a few thousand people, and the Midianites all buzzing like hive of bees that somebody kicked over all over the countryside, and getting their group together, going to teach these rebel Israelites not to defy somebody like, we'll whip this out of them. It won't take very long to do it either. And the Lord come down and say, Gideon, your army's way too big. Everybody's afraid. You send them home. About three-fourths of his troops left. Then he said, your army's still way too big. You need to take them down there to the water, and I'll show you what to do. When you get done, you're going to have 300 left. He needed to remember that the Lord sent him. Why, the Midianites had run over that like there was nothing to it. Folks, there are no certain battles. Even in our time, when the military goes to war, there's no certain battles. Things can turn on the most unexpected little incidents. At any rate, something like that happened here. Going this I might, thou shalt save Israel. Said, I can't, I'm the least. The Lord said, surely I will be with thee. Thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And that's kind of a pointer to the 300. He said unto him, if I have now found grace in thy sight, show me a sign. I need to see you. Because you see, this is a transforming moment in my life. All my life I've heard about religion, but it's never been real to me. This moment, something's happened, and I realize I am in the living presence of God. I am talking to a heavenly being. And all that was just a story before is just about to become real to me. Religious practices cannot save a soul. We're instructed to teach our children. We try, and we should. They need to know the Bible. They need to know about leaving the world alone and the principles and practices of holy living. But none of it really comes together until God comes down to pay a visit to each one personally and individually, and that's what makes it all start making sense. Salvation is not a matter of accepting a body of beliefs. Salvation is making the acquaintance of a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what changes us. Gideon said in so many words, I'm an Israelite. I've known their practices. We're not to eat pork. We're to eat unleavened bread at certain times. We have our feasts that we keep. We're doing this, as far as I can tell, from a God that's rejected us. All that I've heard that he was, he's never been that to me. And where is he? And all of a sudden, there he is, right here. Have you ever had your there it is moment? When this came true personally to you, every one of us are subject to have a visit from the Lord that changes our lives forever. And it makes it more than just a practice, just a form, just a tradition. It makes it living, breathing, real connection with Almighty God. His flaming presence in our souls. Feeling something we never had before. Always before. This is what mom and dad said. This is what the preacher said. This is what the songbook said or the Bible said. Gideon's got something more than that now. He's got, surely I will be with thee. This personal individual God will be with you particularly, Gideon. You yourself. With that, we can go out and face all that there is in life. Without it, it's just a form. Every one of us need our own personal, individual salvation experience with God. Isn't that something? How often we meet the Lord at unexpected places in our lives. The man went out here to try to thresh out a little wheat to feed his family, as far as we can read. That's all he had in mind. He's either thinking about his wheat, or he's thinking about what a beautiful day it was, or he's thinking about how tired he was of the Midianites taking advantage of him. Because when he got the visit, that's the first thing he started talking about. Had to have been on his mind. But everything changed in a moment. And the Lord knows where you and I are, each one, every day. And he's able to visit us just like that. And it changes us. When the Lord comes to visit us, it changes us. So I'm going and I'll make something, bring it back. I want this to be a sign between us. I don't know why he thought he needed to try to feed an angel, but he did. And he came back, and the angel never made a bite of it. Told him, pour it out here on this rock. And lay your cakes out. I got a rock here. Lay your cakes out on the rock. And lay this meat out there on the rock. And the angel touched it. You ever seen fire come out of a rock? Well, I never have either. I've seen a lot of rocks, but I've never seen fire come out of any of them. Oh, folks. I've seen a lot of lives, too, that were dead and hard. And nothing vital or growing there. But you let the angel of the Lord touch it. And something can spring out of it. I find hope in this scripture for my unsaved loved ones. I see them going down a dark road. I see the hardness of hearts and look like nothing can touch them. Dead, lifeless, nothing real there. All it takes is a touch of the Lord. And everything can change. It's worth the trouble to pray for our loved ones. God's able to visit him. So he did that. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and so forth. Then the angel of the Lord left him. And Gideon figured it out. The scripture said he perceived that it was an angel of the Lord. And Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And you know what his idea was. He was going to die. But he couldn't see God and live. But this is the beginning of salvation with every soul, folks. When the Lord comes to pay you a visit, the first thing that happens is you feel unworthy. You feel guilty. You feel condemned. Have you ever had that experience? Getting a good Holy Ghost meeting. And the minister get up there and start talking about, "Oh, Brother S.O. Susag brought a message many, many years ago, got up, anointed of the Holy Ghost in the pulpit, and he talked about somebody buying a rug. Could have bought one for $20, but found the fancy one and bought it for $50. And bought a new pitcher, and could have bought one for $5, but instead they picked the fancy one for $20. And right on through a list, and when it was over, a lady met him back at the back of the building and said, "What have you been doing snooping in my bank account?" Everything he named, she'd just gone and bought it and spent her money extravagantly. But when you meet the Lord, he brings all your failings right up there in front of you. That's the first thing that happens. And the first realization that you have is, "I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I'm unworthy. I don't deserve the Lord to have mercy on me. I've failed. I've done wrong." It's sad. It should be that way. But that's a consequence of sin. And all of us have felt it. There's only one thing sadder. And that is if the Lord comes by and you don't feel anything. You don't feel any need to change. You don't feel just, it's nothing to you. That's hopeless. So Gideon felt it. "The Lord came by and paid me a visit, and I feel how wretched I am and how unable." And it took the Lord to reach through that. It takes the Lord to reach through that for every one of us. Could I say, there is a part of the valley of the shadow of death, and it takes the Lord to walk us through it. On the other side of it is a place of beauty and blessing and comfort, but it all begins with an understanding of what our failings have been and a willingness to deal with it. Until that happens, nothing else fits as it should. So Gideon, the Lord paid him a visit, and he saw that it was the angel of the Lord, and he said, I'm cooked. I'm hopeless. I've seen him. Nothing left but death. And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die." So Gideon built an altar. It doesn't sound to me like he had very many tools. All of this happened in one day. I see him just up there in the mountains somewhere, grabbing whatever rocks he could get his hands on that were not too heavy for him to move, and stacking them up. On top of it, probably wasn't very fancy. Probably wasn't very ornate. But the writer said that he was still there to the day that this was written. And he used this as an altar to the Lord. It's not really an altar of sacrifice. He'd already made a sacrifice of the kid and the unleavened cakes and so forth. An angel had touched those. That was on one rock. This is a pile of rocks gathered together now. So what is it, if it's not an altar of sacrifice? Well, there's only one thing left. It's an Ebenezer. It's an altar of memorial. This is a place where I remember what God did for me. Every child of God needs a place to remember what the Lord did for me. I'm not the same person I was because I had a visit from the Lord. And things changed after that. And when I get pressed hard and when I'm troubled and I don't know what to do, my mind needs to go back to that moment when the angel paid me a visit and things changed. Now, he's just been told that he's to be a mighty man of valor. A little farther on, he's to be told that he's to be given command of the armies of Israel. And his task is going to be to overthrow the Midianites and lead the Israelites on for a period of time after that. So he built an altar. And you would think he'd name it victory. Or you'd think he'd name it courage or strength. But he named it peace. What a name for a man of war to give to his altar. Why on earth would he call it peace? Why would he call it peace? Well, there's a good reason why. Lord, help us. The thing that led Gideon to build this altar was the fear that he had. And when the angel quieted his fear, he felt peace. That's why he built it. I was terrified. I thought I was about out of here. And now, all of a sudden, everything has changed. And he built an altar in his life. And he didn't call it struggle. He didn't call it victory over the other things that he had. He had a voice from the Lord that said, "Peace be unto thee. Fear not. Thou shalt not die." Peace with God opens out into the peace of God. Peace with God means my sins are forgiven. But it is a beginning point of peace being in every part of our life. It just flows. You start out by being forgiven of your sins. And the more you seek His face, the more you feel the comfort of His presence, the more peace dwells in your heart. It just goes on and on. You know what this is talking about? Gideon, when the time has come that you are posted with your 300 men all around on the hills, they weren't standing shoulder to shoulder. They weren't in ranks. The idea was that there were hills that surrounded where the camp of the Midianites was. And every one of those men, individually, not a sword among them. They had pitchers and they had lanterns and they had trumpets and that was it. And they posted them on the hills all the way around. And when the first man broke his pitcher and the light showed and he got his trumpet and yelled, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon," the one over there saw that and he broke his. And the one over there saw that and right on around the circle, the Lord ran a bluff on those people. Midianites looked at that and they thought every one of those was a commander of 1,000 men. And they looked at them and said, "There's 300,000 of them out there. We're surrounded everywhere they look. There's trumpets, some guy yelling at them, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. There's a light here and there's a light there and who knows how many more of them we can't see. We gotta get out of here." And off they go running, killing one another while they ran because they looked like they were completely surrounded, like there wasn't any hope for them. It was all nothing but a bluff. The Lord did that, and think what He would have done if one man had failed to do what he needed to do. When Gideon was standing out there with his little army of 300 and they couldn't touch one of them, don't you know that was a lonely feeling? If he'd give way to his feelings, he'd have panicked. These people haven't been nice to the Israelites. And if they get caught, they're not going to be nice to him again. He needed the peace of God in his soul. Folks, you and I can face anything this world's got to bring if we have the peace of God in our souls. It starts with that firm feeling, the terror of the Lord. I'm guilty, and I've seen the Lord. I've got to do something about it. I can't do it by myself. I'm going to die. We need the Lord to speak to us and say, "You'll be all right, little child. I want you for a sheep. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. Don't be afraid. I'm sending you peace." It begins with that. And you will find that peace is treasure hid in a field. Everywhere you dig, there's more of it. And it just goes on and on and on. So he named his altar Peace. He didn't name it Victory. He named it Peace. And he meant by that, when the time is the most terrible, when it looks the darkest, I am not going to look on the circumstance. I'm going to look on what the Lord told me and on the peace of God that he gave me in my heart. What about us? We've got death to face somewhere down the road, folks. Nobody knows when or who, but it's quite likely at the end of another year, we'll not assemble like we are today. It's very possible that any one of us will be in eternity. 3 days from now, any one of us could be in the ground right up the hill here where the cemetery is. That's the way life is. It's uncertain. We need the peace of God greater than ourselves. We need it. Life has sickness in it. Life has heartbreak in it. Life has trouble with families in it. These visits from the angel of the Lord lift us above ourselves. We say, my salvation is not of myself. I can't even tell you how it happened. The reason it happened is because the angel visited me. Touched my life. Made a different thing. Pardon me. Thank God for every aspect of our eternal salvation. So he named it Peace. So that when the time is the hardest, he could remember this. And he named it Peace for another reason. Gideon was fighting for peace. He wasn't only about the battle. He was for what was to be on the other side of the battle. He wanted to see a time when Israel would be free from her enemies, when he wouldn't have to hide up in the mountains to thrash out a little wheat to feed their families, when they could grow their own, when they could freely speak with one another in the villages and worship the way they wanted to, and no foreigner in the land. That's what he was looking for. Kind of peace. Aren't you? Aren't you looking for a place beyond this world of toil? Folks, let me put it this way. Every tombstone of a saint is an altar to peace. If a child of God, and he made it in, that marker set over his head that went all the way, and he won the prize, and it's a monument to the peace of God. It says humans can live it in this world. You understand what I'm saying? I better say that another way, hadn't I? When the time comes that we have fought our last battle and made it in, we will think that the peace we've enjoyed here is not worthy to be compared with what we found over there. And that tombstone they set on our head, that's saying, that's over, it's sealed, the devil can never touch him again, it's done. It's done, he won. He's free forever. That's what it means. That's what Gideon was fighting for. That's what you and I are struggling for too, isn't it? Even so come, Lord Jesus, to so live. And when the time comes, we can leave this world with the sound of the angels. Singing down their instruments, rejoicing, heaven gate open to us. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. Hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. That's what it's all about. That's what Gideon was fighting for. It's what you and I are fighting for too. Every one of us need our own little altar, our little monument in our own hearts. His name is Peace. That's where we met God. Found his peace. Settled our souls. That's my little thought this morning. I appreciate the courtesy of your attention once again. Amen.